Okay, we are ready to collect the ideas about pricing, and in the interest of time, I will just allow two groups to say who is the most desperate, not housewives, but who is the most desperate group to share with us their ideas about pricing.
We have two examples here of perishable product. One is an airline ticket, and the other one is advertising space on the newspaper. So there's a predictive of how whether they can sell the space by the time the aircraft flies. So the price varies by the minute when you book an airline ticket. It's similar for the newspaper column.
So the idea is that by measuring more, you can do better deal in what's called yield management. And it is actually really interesting how if you use, and I want to give a specific example of user-generated content, how can you can use this to have a way huge competitive advantage compared to companies which don't use this. If you are looking at one specific hotel, the Fairmont I'm staying here, or whatever hotel, and look at the inbound interest, you don't really have a very good sample size of what's happening in Singapore. Worse if you go to some boutique hotel like the Scarlet, where you know every now and then somebody might be calling in, you have no clue whether you're going to book up or not. Compare that to a company like Agoda, which is now a part of Priceline, where they see lots and lots and lots of requests for people being interested in going to Singapore in a certain hotel class, 3 stars, 4 stars. And based on that, they know, they can predict very well what's happening in 7 days or in 7 months from now. Because they see the demand much more closely than any individual hotel does. So that's actually where the power of those companies comes from. Not that they squeeze suppliers, but that they just have much better information given off what end users actually show them. So that would be my little comment on this one. Any other point on pricing? Stuart.
Yeah, we were looking at eBay and the evolution of how eBay has shifted from an auction-based model where consumers were competing with each other, bidding up the prices, and now they're shifting towards a fixed-price model. Much more similar to what Amazon started out with to start with, because people are tired of having to spend all day trying to see whether their bids worked and whether they have to up their bids. They would much rather know that for a fixed price they can get their product at the time that they want it. So I think, you know, even given the price transparency, people sometimes still prefer having a fixed price than having to compete for it all the time.
Which is interesting that eBay actually in Europe brands itself as hey, it's a game. It's mine. You know, 3-1 is mine, that's right. But that's the German eBay has in Germany, the slogan they have in Germany, that hey, we're playing a game. It's not about getting the item, it's about winning the auction.
But Andreas, this was a different kind of comment because this is not an observation on how the consumer data revolution is opening up new possibilities for pricing, but as much as saying in certain situations, people want to go back to the previously established paradigms, right? And so this notion that, you know, it was like you do the dynamic plus routing or you need the fixed price, that it does open up new possibilities, but it doesn't always work everywhere for every kind of situation. So your observation is almost counter to that.
But it creates a different paradigm. I mean, Sean had an observation that eBay is now used as a benchmark for other transactions. So whether you're selling on Hardware Zone or you're selling on some of the other websites, used goods, you use eBay's price as a benchmark.
So that's very true. Mobiles, actually, best example for this is mobiles. That in the U.S. there are different carriers and the mobiles only work with one carrier. You know extremely well how a mobile carrier is doing. Some people, by the way, use this even for trading purposes by how much the phones are selling on the secondary market on eBay, because the carrier is not going to tell you that they only sold whatever it was, 4,000 iPhones in India. But the carrier is going to tell you, oh, it's going really great.
not realizing that people know much more information because, hey, there are those people bought those iPhones trying to dump in the market, and nobody's buying. So, yes, mobile is actually the best example of how you can learn stuff about the phone companies and about the carriers by observing the price it has in the secondary market. The customer knows more about the pricing and the landscape than the retailer. So if you go to your Sprint store or your Singtel store, probably you know more if you spend 10 minutes on eBay to figure out what's good and what's not good than they do. That's the principle which we've seen again and again, that the retailers don't own the customer anymore. I talked before that, you know, holding hostage versus being free. And also the retailer doesn't know its product as well as Web2O knows it. Transparency is basically whether you want or not there. People have ways of finding out how much it is. And this sort of guarantee best price, well, you better stick to it because otherwise people will actually tell you that they didn't get the best price on the web. One final thing here, and I'll give you these notes which I prepared, is that in Web 2, due to the interaction, the old Gillette model, that, hey, you know, I give you the shaver for free, but you're going to buy blades for the rest of your life, and that's how I'm going to make my money. That model actually is more complicated in that one person gives you the shaver, the other person gives you the blades. And if you think about Google, for instance, with AdSense and AdWords, it's a beautiful example. I don't pay for Google. It's not that I pay for any searches, but somebody else, namely the advertisers, pay for Google for me. And that is worth, it's called a freemium model or a free model. And Chris Anderson has an article in Wired earlier this year where he actually discusses the implication of Web2O onto pricing. Final remark here is that same Chris Anderson wrote this book called The Long Tail, also based on an article in Wired magazine, where he says what's happening is two effects pointing in the same direction, not opposite direction, but pushing in the same direction. Namely, one is that there is more and more discoverable content in the long tail. That means articles, products, whatever. Not everybody's interested in, which traditional media can't push because a page in a newspaper is just too expensive. Only 10 people in Singapore are interested in that. And that means that more and more interest is generated in the long tail. Again, relevance function based on metadata being the key differentiator there, whether you have that, as some companies do, or whether you don't have it. And the second one is that, of course, these products being virtual products, more and more gets produced, so the demand curve gets flatter and flatter, more and more the long tail gets risen up, and that is the user-generated Web2O content. In the interest of time, I won't show you what I have for the other 2 points. I will give you the notes afterwards. I now ask you, however, to each take a piece of paper and write 2 points on that piece of paper. On the upper half of the piece of paper, make a straight line through the middle, horizontal line through the middle.
This is a piece of paper you're going to hand in the office.
You'll give to me in...
Sure, it's not your notes.
Yeah, you'll give to me in 2 minutes. Thank you, Steve. So draw a straight line halfway through the piece of paper. Above the straight line, you write, what was the main insight you gained between 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock today? So what was the one main insight which you think is relevant for you, which you can do something with tomorrow when you're in office? Below the line, you write, what is the thing which you wish you had understood? And you're not quite there yet. In America, you just say the thing you're most muddled about, but you think it's relevant for you.
Is that the same, Andreas, as something they want you to talk about or wish you talked about or still not clear about?
Right.
The question that they haven't asked you yet, they really need to ask you.
Exactly. What I'll do with this is I will see, while we are watching the movie, the IDEA movie, I will quickly flip through your pieces of paper, so don't write long novels there. Somebody need to read it. So I will see whether my main points actually got across. If not, I will reemphasize them in the last part of today. And then I will look at what is the thing which you would love to know which I didn't explain well enough. So actually, it's feedback for me in this F economy, the feedback economy, so I can do a good job in the last half hour today. So upper half, what was the main insight you took with you that's relevant? Lower half is what do you wish I spent a little bit more time in the rest of today's class. Is that clear? Okay. Think about it for a moment, write it up, hand it in, and then we'll watch the movie.